KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. For the first time in 4 years, Silicon Valley added jobs in 2005. A new survey from joint venture Silicon Valley found the employment uptick was led by consumer electronics and software companies. On this Martin Luther King Day, a newly released study from Harvard University shows that California schools are among the most segregated and unequal in the nation, and the state's Latino students are faring the worst. Jason Margolis reports.
Shortly after Dr. King's death in 1968, the average Latino student in California was attending class with mostly white students. Today, most Latinos have been segregated into separate schools, filled mostly with immigrants and minorities.
We're clearly moving backwards. It's dangerous because, as the Supreme Court said in 1954, segregated education in this society is inherently unequal.
Harvard education professor Gary Orfield authored the just-released study. He says segregation in California schools is occurring among ethnicity, language, and income.
In these high-poverty schools, they tend to have the least experienced teachers. The teachers tend to leave the soonest. The curriculum is more limited. There's a tremendous turnover of student enrollment each year because kids have to move because their families can't afford housing and other problems.
Orfield says in California, many minority students can't afford to live in neighborhoods with their white counterparts. A growing number of white students are also attending private schools. Orfield says segregated schools not only provide an inferior education, but can also lead to segregated societies where children of different ethnicities are not learning how to coexist. For the California Report, I'm Jason Margolis in Sacramento.
Convicted murderer Clarence Ray Allen is scheduled to die by lethal injection tonight at San Quentin Prison. Friday, Governor Schwarzenegger denied Allen's clemency request, and late yesterday, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco declined to intervene, leaving the U.S. Supreme Court as Allen's last chance for reprieve. At age 76, Allen is the oldest inmate on death row. He's also legally blind and uses a wheelchair, and that's fueling a debate about the ethics of putting him to death. Joining us now to discuss the issue are Ward Campbell, Deputy Attorney General for the State of California, and Elizabeth Semmel, Director of the Death Penalty Clinic at UC Berkeley. Mr. Campbell, let me begin with you. Why do you think Clarence Allen should die instead of, say, spending the rest of his life in prison?
Clarence Ray Allen, probably of any inmate on death row, is the most appropriate for the death penalty. He was already serving a life sentence for murder when he was responsible for the murder of three more people and was conspiring to murder seven more on the outside. So literally a life sentence in his case is meaningless.
Critics, of course, say that because of his age, because of his infirmity, that it is a cruel and unusual punishment to put someone to death who is using a wheelchair and so on. You obviously disagree.
Yeah, I disagree completely. There's no legal basis for that. And Mr. Allen's infirmities go far, far back before the time he was in custody. He committed these crimes when he was 50 years old as it was, and frankly, none of them have anything to do with his capabilities still then and now to cause whatever trouble he or mischief he wants to.
Elizabeth Semmel, where does the question of mercy, where should the question of mercy come in on questions of clemency?
The question of mercy ought to come in very broadly on questions of clemency. It is much broader than the concept of justice, and it could easily extend to cases such as Mr. Allen. We have a man who is not only elderly, but severely infirm, who is blind, certainly legally blind, incapacitated, very ill physically, and so the issue of deterrence is clearly off the table.
Ward Campbell, your thoughts.
I think if you talk to the people who were directly threatened by him, which are the victims' families and all that, I don't think they're interested in taking a gamble and another life sentence for Mr. Allen.
Elizabeth Semmel, it's no secret that you oppose the death penalty generally. The people of California have spoken several times on this. They support the death penalty. Do you see any execution as being not cruel and unusual? In other words, can there be a just execution?
Not in my opinion. So certainly the issue for me is much broader than Mr. Allen's case. Mr. Allen's case raises a question that we have not had to confront in California before, and that is the question about whether or not someone in his physical, medical, and potentially neurological condition ought to be put to death. What his lawyers are simply saying is that his medical condition has deteriorated significantly because of the despicable, frankly deplorable conditions, medical conditions that exist in San Quentin and on death row specifically.
Ward Campbell, there has been a lot of criticism of the kind of medical care prisoners receive in California. It's been under court review. Is that relevant in this case?
It's not relevant. That's very misleading. He's already had two mental exams already in connection with his habeas. He's never been found to have any mental illness, and everything indicates that he has no mental capacity problems right now. He is communicative. He understands his situation. They never have, in fact, indicated that there is any neurological problem that would really inspire any sympathy or mercy for Mr. Allen at this point.
Elizabeth Semmel, California has a very exhaustive appeals process, and it takes often 2 decades for an execution to happen. And that's, most people feel, a good thing because we ensure that innocent people are not executed. Isn't it an inevitable result of California's long appeals process that death row inmates are going to be old when they're finally executed?
Well, it's inevitable in the sense that some of them will indeed be old, but the fact that the process is a lengthy one does not necessarily mean that the process is a fair or reliable one. And time again, we've seen examples of cases, many of them, in which individuals were denied effective representation, in which prosecutors withheld evidence until the very end or past the very end. And so I don't think that time is necessarily the measure of accuracy or reliability.
But in this case, there really isn't much question about Mr. Allen's guilt or innocence, is there?
The issue in this case is not about Mr. Allen's guilt or innocence. The issue in this case presently is whether or not a court will find that Mr. Allen's present circumstances are such that his execution would be cruel or unusual.
Do you have any qualms, Ward Campbell, about executing someone who is using a wheelchair, partially blind, nearly deaf, in terms of how it would look for the state of California?
I think the greater spectacle would be that if California decides to spare the life of a man who has already been responsible for the crimes Mr. Allen has been, that basically we were telling three people, Brian Schladewitz, Douglas White, and Josephine Rocha, that we frankly didn't care what happened to them.
Ward Campbell is a deputy attorney general for the state of California, and Elizabeth Semmel is director of the Death Penalty Clinic at UC Berkeley's Bolt Law School. And that's the California Report for Monday, January 16th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, sponsoring the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, with information online at www.irvine.org. The California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family, online at farmwater.org. And the California Healthcare Foundation, committed to improving California's healthcare delivery and financing systems, on the web at chcf.org.